Sota, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Ches 7-8, the last of the Perek, and we continue to discuss those halachic phenomena that must be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Here we talk about the mitzvah of Hakel, which is, as the Mishnah will explain, the mitzvah once every 7 years on the first day of Chol HaMoed of Sukkos after the Shemitah year, so that would be the beginning of the 8th year. There's a mitzvah for the king, and according to some Rishonim, really the leader of Klal Yisrael, could be also like the Gadol Hador, to read certain passages of Sefer Devarim, and the Mishnah will describe which parshas and how, but that must be done in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, as written in the Psukim. The base of that Bepashas is those are the Psukim, and therefore that be written in Hebrew as they were written. Okay, so the Mishnah says inside, Parshas HaMelech, that's a reference to Hakel, the chapters that the king reads, Ketzan, how was it executed? Again, so like the previous several Mishnayos, we're not going to describe the basis in the Psukim to prove a Masud in Lashon HaKodesh. That, like I said, is either from the very fact that it's the Psukim themselves that you read, and those are in the original Lashon HaKodesh. There are those who learn, because it says, Tikra es HaTorah HaZos, so it's read this Torah as part of the mitzvah there. So HaZos, this one, tells you as it's written. Okay? At all events, the Mishnah says, Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, on the day after the first day of Yom Tov, of Chag, Chag always refers to Sukkos, B'Shmini, in the 8th. Now, Shmini really is a masculine adjective, and therefore it suggests going about the day, but the Gemara amends it to say Shminit, a feminine, because we're talking about the year, the 8th year, B'Motzei Shvius, after the Shvius year has come out, meaning after Shemitah year is over and we're beginning the 8th year, to remove any ambiguity, might be like in the Shemitah year, meaning the beginning, when it comes before, you know, Sukkot, the beginning of the 7th year. Osen lo bima shel eitz ba'azara. They would build for him, the king, a bima, like a platform made out of wood, in the azara. Now, there are those who ask, wait a second, there's an isser to build wooden structures in the azara. So the simple answer is that's referring to permanent structures. This is a temporary structure. Alternatively, that only applies in the azara proper, meaning the Ezra's, the Israel Ezra's Kohanim, that 135 by 135 on the area where the Mizbeach and the Heichal are and so on. But this is happening in the Ezra's Nashim, and it doesn't apply there, according to some. Vu Yoshev Aleha, he, the king, sits on it, on that wooden platform. Again, like the previous Mishnah, we talked about sitting versus standing. Here, if the king is a descendant of David HaMelech, he would be allowed to sit, even in the Azara, but this is happening in Ezra's Nashim, presumably, so therefore it would be a problem anyways. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, this Pasuk tells you about the whole mitzvah, the institution. Miketz Sheva Shanim B'moed, at the end of 7 years, on the festival, Shnas HaShemitah B'chag HaSukkos, on the year of the Shemitah, on the holiday of Sukkot. See, there's an ambiguity there, so it's being clear it means on the Shemitah, Motzi Shemitah, the beginning of the 8th year, Chag HaSukkos. B'vo kol Yisrael l'ra'os, l'ra'os, es pnei Hashem Elokecha, when all of Klal Yisrael come to literally see the face of Hashem, that's talking the mitzvah of Hereon, excuse me, of Ra'ayon, of being seen. Tikra es HaTorah HaZos, neged kol Yisrael b'oznehem, read out this Torah before the people into their ears. And that pasuk is telling you the mitzvah of Hakel. And since it says tikra in the singular, you learn that it's someone doing it, and that person is the king, the individual. So how do they go about doing it? Says the Mishnah, Chazan HaKnesses, the person in charge of the administration, the superintendent of the shul that was on the Mikdash's premises on the Har HaBayis, Notel Sefer Torah, he would take the Sefer Torah from where it was kept there in that synagogue, V'nosna L'Rosh HaKnesses, he would hand it over to the Rosh HaKnesses, the kind of like the gabbai, the person in charge of the making decisions in that shul there, Rosh HaKnesses Nosan L'Sagan, and that person would hand it over to the deputy Kohen Gadol, V'Sagan Nosan L'Kohen Gadol, and the Sagan would hand it over to the actual Kohen Gadol. This up to now paralleling the previous mission as well, but here the Kohen Gadol Nosna L'Melech, the Kohen Gadol then hands it to the Melech, and this whole like procedure of handing off is to show the honor of the, in this case, the melech, the king, who have so many levels of hierarchy are beneath him. So he's at the top of that pile to give him kavod. V'hamelech omed, now the king has to stand where he was sitting, u'mekabel, and he receives the Sefer Torah. V'kore yoshev, but he reads it sitting down, meaning he can sit down to read it. Although normally the halach is when you read the Sefer Torah, from the Sefer Torah you should stand up. Being that he's the king, he's permitted to sit down. That's his prerogative. The Mishnah says, like a side point, if you will, it talks about a particular king, Agrippas HaMelech, King Agrippas, Amad, he stood v'kibel v'karav omed, and he also read it standing up, notwithstanding the Mishnah. He read it standing up to give kavod to the Torah. Now, v'shibchu chamim, and the rabbis praised him for affording the Torah such kavod by choosing to read it standing instead of sitting as he could. Now, ukshigia le, when he got to the parsha that he reads as part of the Hakka reading, which is talking about the appointment of a king over Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk says, lo sucho lases alecha, you may not place upon you, meaning a king, ish nachri, a man who's a foreigner. The pasuk continues, asher lo achichahu, who isn't your brother, meaning someone who's not a Jew. And at that, zalgu einav demaos, his eyes began to, you know, well up with tears, because the pasuk basically is saying that he's not bound to be a king. Amrulo, but the nation sort of said to him, don't worry, al tis yareh, Agrippas, don't worry about Agrippas, achinu ata, achinu ata, achinu ata, you are our brother, you are our brother, you are our brother. So they assured him it was okay. Now, the Gemara ends up saying this was totally out of line. This is chanufa. This is flattery, and it's not true. They shouldn't have done this. There seem to be a different opinions exactly what's happening here. I'll call it historically, as well as halachically. So Rashi learns that. Okay, sorry. One point. There were two men called Herod Agrippa. Agrippa the First and Agrippa the Second. Agrippa the First was the grandson of Herod. He lived and ruled in the 40s of the Common Era, a generation before the Churban. Agrippa the Second was his son, and he ruled at the very end, including during the time of the Churban itself. Historically speaking, it seems that Agrippa the First, his mother was not Jewish, but Agrippa the Second, his mother was, yes, Jewish. Know that. So Rashi learns that we're talking here about Agrippa II, ostensibly, because he says, Mizar'o shel Herodes haya, he was a descendant of Herod. Agrippa II was a great-grandchild. Uv'yamav nechrav beis b'aysheni. He said it was in his... the Bar Tanura, really summarizing from Rashi, says that it was in his time, the time of this Agrippus, that the base of English was destroyed, and that Lachor is Agrippus II. When they said Achinoata, so the Bar Tanura again going with Rashi says Sheimo me Yisrael, his mother was a Jew. So I mean, they said that he was their brother because he was, he was Jewish halachically if his mother was Jewish. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos doesn't like that because the way the Gemara talks about what a terrible thing is what they did, so he questions if that were true, then why in the world was it so terrible? So Tosfos suggests either that a king from Israel should have both a Jewish mother and father, and he didn't, and therefore that was out of line. He also brings in Yavamos Memhei that Agrippas actually, his mother wasn't Jewish either. The Rambam learns that Agrippas wasn't Jewish, and therefore the whole thing was a lie from beginning to end, meaning not even his mother. But Rashi seems to say he was. Rashi seems to say this is the second Agrippas. The second Agrippas was a pretty not great friend of the Jews, frankly. And whereas the first Agrippas the first, was a fantastic, as far as non-Jewish kings go, or sort of Jewish kings go, Agrippas the first was very good to the Jews. He was sensible to them. He even went on behalf of the Jewish community to Caligula to stop him from putting up an idol of himself, essentially, in the Beis HaMikdash, risking his own life. So Agrippa the first, great. Agrippa the second, who ended up sending soldiers to support Vespasian on his attack on the Jews, not so great. Whatever the case is, that's the case. That's what happened over here in the Mishnah, that story. So now, returning back to our main point, which is how Hakka went in general. V'kora metchilas ela hadavarim ad shema. the reading of the Hakel began with Ela Devar, meaning the opening words of Sefer HaDevarim, you know, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Ad until Shema, until the Parsha of Shema. And then he would read Ushema, he'd read the Shema itself, and Ishma and the Psukim with the Ahavta, Vayam Shemoa, and then he read the Vayam Shemoa part, and then Aser Taser and Ki Sechale, excuse me, Ki Sechale La Aser. These two partials, the first one, Aser Taser, referring to the mitzvahs of tithing, and the second one is referring to the Vidui HaMaisras that we talked about earlier on in the Perek. So the reason why Maiser and Vidui Maiser become relevant here is because this is happening in Sukkot. Sukkot is Chag Asif, the festival of the ingathering, and the right time to start tithing your produce. As it happens, if this is talking about Motzi Shemitah, so that means that the produce would actually be exempt right now from tithing, because it's Shemitah produce, which is exempt from tithing. And similarly, the deadline for doing the Vidui Maiser, that happens twice every 7 years, was 6 months previous Pesach time of the seventh year. In any case, while it's not applicable now, it's certainly applicable in other sukkahs, and therefore the thought is to people should associate sukkahs with tithing, and therefore he reminds them. Then after that, he would read Parshas HaMelech, the chapter in Shoftim regarding the halachas of appointing a king. Just note that the first words of the Mishnah are talking about Parshas HaMelech, and here we use the Parshas HaMelech expression again, but they're two totally different Parshios HaMelech. In the beginning of the Mishnah, Parshas HaMelech refers to Hakel. Here, Parshas HaMelech refers to the Psukim in Shoftim about the appointing of a king. And then, Uvrachos Uklalos, then he reads from Kisavo, the Brachos and Klalos of Gwent Eretz Israel, Ad Shegomer Kol HaParsha, until the end of that section. And then after that, after he read those sections of Devarim to the people, so then Brachos Shekohen Gadol Mavarachosan, then he said those same eight brachas we said in the previous Mishnah, and HaMelech Mavarachosan, the king did them all. It's just that Ela Shenosan Shelregalim Tachas Mechilas Ha'avon. One of those eight brachas we saw before is the bracha on Hashem being Mochel the Avonos of Yisrael, forgiving the Jews of their sins, which is applicable certainly on Yom Kippur, which was the topic of the previous Mishnah, but here we're past that, we're in Sukkot, and therefore instead of talking about Mechilas Avon, the king instead says at the end of Atavachatanu, he says Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmanim, praising Hashem who sanctifies the Jewish people and the times on the Jewish calendar, as we make a similar bracha nowadays as well.